Kids, are you ready for Kids Quest? A few more weeks and it's already summer break. Are you ready for summer? Yes. Parents, are you ready for summer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's pray for our kids before we send them out. Thank you, Lord, for our children. So precious to us, Lord. As we look in this room, few months old to teenagers and in between, Lord, that we thank you for our children. Especially we pray for our teens who are on the youth leadership retreat this weekend, that you would bless Pastor Ryan and the leadership team of Aftershock, that they would just have a blessed time at Hallam Bay. Lord, bless our children this morning as they're in Kids Quest. Lord, these few minutes spent every Sunday have eternal impact, Lord. And many people would witness today that Sunday school or Kids Church or Kids Quest, whatever it was called, transform their lives. And we pray that you would do that for our children. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, children, you're dismissed for Kids Quest. And can I ask the sound team, take the mids out of my microphone. It's down, the mids. Take the mids down. Just getting feedback. All right, today is Vision Sunday. For some of you, this is the first time you've been at HIF for Vision Sunday. We used to call it, many years ago, Annual General Meeting. And that's probably the worst name you could give it if you want people to actually show up. And so today is when we report on what God has been doing this past year, give accountability of our finances, as well as cast vision for what we anticipate God will be doing for the next year. And so I will be sharing a very brief message from 1 Peter in line with our series before I go into the Vision Sunday presentation. But as you remember, Peter was writing his first letter to the Christians who were being persecuted in Rome and in the empire and who were living spread out, scattered throughout the provinces in Asia. And he says, though you were rejected by men, you were chosen by God. It wasn't by accident that they ended up where they were, but God had determined for them even that time and that place where they were living and worshiping. And so Peter says you were chosen by God, chosen for salvation. We read in the first week. And in the last week, we talked about being chosen for holiness. And then today, I want to talk about being chosen to do good. Now, it's amazing when you read through Scripture, you always come across this three-legged stool kind of principle idea. Just like a tripod can hold up a camera steadily, so also the church, the people of God, have these three legs, which is worship, relationship, and outreach. And so over the many years, we've simplified HF to these three things. Is that we are here unified to worship, that we pursue genuine relationships with God and each other, and that we want to pursue transformational outreach. And even in the letter 1 Peter, we see this coming to the forefront again, especially as this community in the first century is in the midst of suffering and persecution. And so this morning I want to use the New Living Translation. I found this one a little bit more simple and clear to express what Peter is writing. Some of the words I've put in brackets throughout that I've taken from NIV, but the NLT is giving some really simple, clear expression to what Peter is trying to communicate to the Christians in the Asian provinces. He says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. And he was rejected by people, but was chosen by God for great honor. So even Christ himself had been rejected by men, but chosen by God. And then he continues, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. And through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, these Christians were living far away from Jerusalem, and many of them had never been a Jew before. They had probably never seen the temple in Jerusalem. But for us who have the privilege of reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, we understand that the Jewish people were bound to the temple in Jerusalem. But just soon after Peter wrote this letter, that temple was destroyed. And here Peter is saying that, you know, it's never, ever been about buildings. In fact, it's taken centuries after the first Christians before they started building church buildings. And the church again got locked into their buildings. But Peter is saying, no, when you get together, Jesus is the living cornerstone. And you are like living stone. When you get together, you are in fact the temple where God dwells. And you are his priests. All of you. And all of you can present your sacrifices, your praise and your worship and your giving and your lives. And it's pleasing to God. Now, if you've read the Old Testament, you know the temple structure, you know that it would be impossible for anyone to become a priest or even a high priest and offer sacrifices to God unless they were from the right lineage, lived the right life, were married to the right person, and didn't do anything bad in their lives. And even so, they would have to present sacrifices for their own sins. But here, Peter is saying, you are holy priests. And he continues, he says, if you can just click on the next one. Is it frozen? Okay. While they're fixing this, let me read what it says next. He says, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you have received God's mercy. Let's see. Yes. So God created a new people, a new community, a new nation that knows no geographic boundary, that is not stuck in buildings or divided by race. It is a worshiping community that is showing how good God truly is. And so Peter says, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, as expatriates where you're living, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Now, last week we talked about chosen to be holy, and the reason that was given last week for being holy was that Jesus paid a dear price for our salvation. He paid with his very life. He shed his blood, broke his body upon the cross, died, and was buried in a grave. And that's all that he's done for you. So be respectful and live a holy life. That's what Peter said in a previous chapter. But now he is saying, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls, be careful to live good lives among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good work and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. And so holy living is not just out of respect for Jesus. And if that's not enough of a reason, It's also because other people are watching you all the time, especially the people that are trying to trap you, that are trying to falsely accuse you. They're trying to find some little mistake that you, as a Christian, shouldn't be doing to give reason for persecution or ridicule or for arrest, for imprisonment. So Peter is saying it's not just about getting together and worshiping God and forming community and just being nice people in a small room. He said it's actually about doing work. The word that's used here for work is ergon, from which we get our word in English, ergonomics. He's not just, well, live a nice life and then people will look at your life and want a life like yours. He's saying actually do work, good deeds that will impact the lives of other people so that God would be honored upon his return. So for the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. For the king, he has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Now this is reverse psychology. When you read in Romans chapter 13 and here in 1 Peter chapter 2, when it talks about the authority being under God, of course, they know that the authority will also be reading these letters. And they are saying that God has ordained these authorities not only to punish those who do wrong, but also to reward and honor those who do right, so that the authority under God is not to punish those who are doing right. It is God's will that by doing good, he should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Jesus is our example, and you must follow in his steps. So even if you're being persecuted, even if you're suffering, it's still no excuse. Even if you're foreigners and strangers living in a foreign city, in a strange land, it is no reason to not do good works. We are all called to show how good God is by the good works that we do for others. Jesus never sinned, nor ever did he deceive anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He did not threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So, if you are experiencing persecution or ridicule or harassment, or colleagues are laughing at you, or they look down upon you because you're a Christian, or they think you're weird because you say no to this and you say no to that, leave it in God's hands. This is what God did. He will judge fairly. Because Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. In chapter 1, it talked about how suffering and persecution was like how gold is purified by fire, that the fire is so hot that all the impurities would come to the surface and would be scooped away so that the gold at the end would be pure. And here Jesus Christ was in such hot fire that proved him to be perfectly pure. There were no impurities whatsoever in Jesus Christ. Imagine the suffering and the persecution that he went through. Even though he was doing good, he said, "What are you going to stone me for? Is it for this miracle or is it for that miracle?" He had no impurity. And so he exchanged his perfection for our filthy lives. And he exchanged his health for our death. So that once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have come to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, is gathering us from all the nations, scattered around the world, building a new community, a sense, a new temple. Wherever we gather, we are living stones where he is present in our midst, pleased with our sacrifices. And so, even this morning, as we are welcoming our visitors, they're from all across the world, from the U.S. and from the Philippines and from Japan and from Brazil and from Africa. From down under, anyone? From all the continents, we're here. 50-plus nations. In the bulletin, you can find a few statistics of how HIF is made up of different nationalities and where we are meeting and how many of us are in each of our congregations. But Jesus is creating a new people, a new community. Not just so that we can have nice worship services and nice times of fellowships and nice connect groups and nice events. No, also to show how good God truly is by our good works. And if we have to suffer for that, well, we're only following Jesus' example. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that even in this quick overview of chapter 2 of the letter of Peter that he wrote to the persecuted Christians in Asia 2,000 years ago, we can resonate with what he is writing. That it is also for us today as expatriates in Hanoi who live like foreign residents in a strange country that we're not just happy to have a Sunday service, although that is truly what you long for, that we gather together from the various nations are as living stones forming a holy temple, that we are priests offering sacrifice unto you and you are pleased with us. What an amazing thing that is. Sometimes we say it's like a taste of heaven. But let us not stop there. But let us tell the world, show the world, declare to the world, proclaim that you are good by the good works that we do, so that we can continue the mission that Jesus has started. May you be glorified, not only in our midst, but only in the midst of this city and in this nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a few reports that I want to share with you before I show a video clip from the different ministries this past year. And so, I don't know if some of you are number guys and you really like graphs and stats, so I do my best to make them easy and simple. But it gives us many reasons to give praise to God today. And I want to take time to do that as I do this presentation. But first, just to look back this past year to show you our attendance, you know, for those who have never seen our graph, it's really up and down throughout the year. and you see a few dips at the holiday season, especially Christmas Day and New Year's Day were pretty low, and then Tet holiday we were down to 200 people. But you see, we've been around the 500 mark this whole year, and had this past spring been over 600 two times. So average, though, if we compare our attendance this year with last year, we have increased by 8%. And so that is really good news. Also good news is our offerings, and we already celebrated that last a few weeks ago when we announced that we met budget. Now here I just want to show you quickly the past 3 years so you have an idea of how our finances are also increasingly growing. Last month we said we needed to meet budget of $354,000. Many of you gave tremendously last week of April that just caused us to rejoice in the first week of May that we met budget. But I have a little confession to make that I only found out this month. We need to be honest with you and say that we've been really struggling in our accounting department. And so it's really difficult for HIF over the years to recruit and to retain competent accountants. And so just to explain, this past year, for the first half of the year, we had an accountant in the Philippines doing it remotely because we couldn't recruit anyone. So our office staff was using Excel spreadsheets to do all the bookkeeping. And then we had a Korean who was volunteering for just over a month and didn't know QuickBooks, but knew other accounting practices. And actually, the 1 month really didn't help us. So that in January, that accountant was gone again. And so we were without an accountant again. And then after Ted Wisnell from Haiti, who speaks French, but knows QuickBooks very well, has taken 3 months full-time work to figure out all our accounting for the whole year, fix all our mistakes. And so as we closed the books and finally had a clear picture between our cash balances, the Excel sheets, and QuickBooks, and everything matched up, which is pretty good. Yeah, that was a lot of work. And JV as well, who is our host team leader here in Westlake, worked quite a lot with Wisnell to make that work. And good news is, normally when you have accounting problems, you lose money, right? And you're like, where did that money go? I have no idea. The good news is, we found money, so to speak. And so our offering, in fact, this past year was more, $375,000. But I just want to highlight to you, as you notice and know, we need a new accountant again, as Wisnell is leaving in July, and it's breaking my heart, but he didn't want to break his girlfriend's heart in Haiti. We've been trying to fly her in and didn't convince that. But it's really urgent and important that we do need to hire a new accountant. So if you know someone, please have them apply for the position. But I was, man, that was a relief to see that we were being conservative all year in our expenses and in our reporting, that we have a very positive cash balance now at the end of the finance year. So our total income, including $32,000 in other income, brought us to $416,000, with expenses $293,000. And so we now have just over a month of operating expenses in our cash balance, which is really good because normally we've been operating on just 1 or 2 weeks cash balance, which sometimes was very tight. And so I'm just really thankful, really relieved, and thank you as well for your contributions this past year, and particularly at the end of last month, and we have much to be thankful for. So our budget for next year is $419,000 total, and as you can see, Upreach, which is our Sunday services, is over a quarter of our expenses, so the rental of our facilities and everything that goes with that. Then our InReach, which is our connect groups, our workshops, actually cost very little, just 2%. but we focus and fix our outreach to be a minimum of 10%, which is Alpha, city partners, missions and events, etc. And then ministry staff and administration is more than half of the rest of the budget. And we anticipate to gather the income mostly from our general offerings. And so for this coming year, set at 384,000, and since we did such a good job this past year, not knowingly, it's only 2.5% increase over this past year. So we feel that is quite doable. And then 35,000 we get from either city partnership offerings, 15,000 from our facility rental when many other groups and churches rent our facility at DTEC, another 15, and then 5,000 in fundraising. City partners this past year gave away about $28,000 to various projects and charity organizations. And so we sponsored the translation of the Alpha Parenting Course for teenagers this past year, and we'd love to do the one for little children this coming year. We helped Color Me to rent a facility to host women who come out of human trafficking or out of prostitution, and so they just started renting a place, and all that money is helping them to rent that for a whole year. We supported the 100-year anniversary celebration that we participated in last year, and on and on, various projects. If you remember the various presentations that we make every Sunday from City Partners, this is how we sponsor those projects. And so that is a lot to be thankful for. I just want to take a moment here to pause and to give thanks before we continue. Father, I'm just so thankful to you, Lord. Lord, I even confess that at times I can be anxious or worried or even sometimes frustrated, not knowing what's next or if we make budget or why the accountant is not showing up, Lord. Lord, there are so many prayers have been prayed this past year, Lord, but we see at the end of it all that you are faithful, that you are good, Lord, and that we can go around and say, our God is so good, and he is so faithful. And so we want to be a testimony unto you of your faithfulness. Each and every year you provide for us in our finances, you provide for us in our staffing and in our volunteers, you provide in all our needs, Lord. And we give you thanks, Lord. But at the same time, we also present to you our budget. This is done in faith. And yet we have no idea what exactly you are going to do this coming year. And so we submit it unto you, Lord, and we say, surpass it, Lord. Do greater things than we can imagine, Lord, and that we can dream about. Let this just be the bottom line, Father. And may your heaven pour out in us and over us and through us in this city, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a little video clip of all the different ministry events and the various programs and that's been going on this past year. So we can turn down the lights, have the sound on. Eden, go ahead.
Love.
active church, and that's indeed what we are. We are actually three churches, so sometimes it seems like a whole lot, but we know it's three churches working together to do good in this city. Well, next few minutes, just want to talk about what we anticipate God will be doing through us in this coming year. It's such an exciting time to be in Hanoi right now. As Michael earlier shared, such a time as this, God's kingdom is at work, and we are part of that kingdom work here in the city. And years ago, Jingoi and I, when we were working together, we would say, what surprise does God have for us this year? Because we can plan, we can budget, and we can cast vision. But, God always catches us by surprise. And so now, instead of just saying, well, these are all our plans, we're saying, well, this is what we've planned. Let's pray for God's surprise. And so we're not sure exactly what will come up, but we have great expectations of God. Well, we describe HIF as a missional community. We're unified in worship. We're genuine in our relationships and transformational in our outreach. And so for some time, I've been wanting our logo also to reflect what HIF is today. And so I'm so excited to show to you our new HIF logo that shows our identity as a community from various nations and diverse backgrounds having gathered around the cross, praising God, but looking outwards. And I hope that this will become more meaningful to you as I continue. We're not just one community, but we are actually a community of communities. And so we want to be able to reflect our current language today. We say HIF Westlake, HIF Meeting, HIF Downtown. And so with this new logo, we can also reflect the identities that each of our communities have. And we want to encourage each of these congregations to build their own identity and to increase their own unique expression of what HIF is in their own geographic location with the people that are attending there. So as we have continued since 2011, we established HIF Meeting. And then 2 years ago, we started HIF Downtown. And as you visit these three congregations, you can notice how different these are becoming more and more. But what is so neat, so cool, so exciting about an international church is by default, we are discipling the nations. Even our staff team of seven have six different nationalities. So it's really fun to stand in the elevator when we go down for lunch and Vietnamese come in the elevator and to just look around. It's just a weird bunch of people. I'm Dutch and John and Ryan are American. Marion is Filipina. Tommy is Nigerian. Wisnell is Haitian. And then we've had a Vietnamese staff in this past year, and we're still recruiting for other Vietnamese staff this coming year. And then Matthias is from Germany, is an intern with us for 6 months. So, whenever you get together for coffee or connect group or men's group or women's event, it's like the United Nations in a room. And so we've come from all over the world. And so whenever we gather together, we're discipling the nations. But not only that, every Sunday as people leave and we pray for them and we launch them out, they are going across the world again. And we will not know until we get to heaven the impact that we have had together as a church here in Hanoi on the rest of the world. Because lives have been transformed here and then we send them out. And it's beyond my imagination to add up what impact that has had over the years. Even though discipling nations is an inward orientation, we have an outward orientation towards loving our city. Now this year, we're a little pond in a big city. God has thrown a big rock in our little pond that is causing huge tidal waves that's impacting everything. And if you know what I'm talking about the Love Hanoi Festival. It's just a really miraculous story how this all came together. The Billy Graham Association continues to organize festivals around the world. Franklin Graham, his son, is one of the main speakers, but then also other siblings are speakers at various festivals around the world. They were organizing two festivals this past year in Thailand until they found out when the king died that the churches no longer wanted to and could organize festivals for a whole year as a sign of mourning for the death of the king. And so the Billy Graham Association already had this whole process going on for Thailand, and they asked Pastor Pham from the Hanoi Evangelical Church if it would be possible to come to Hanoi. And so delegation went and met them in Burma last year, and Franklin Graham agreed to come to Hanoi this year. And so we are calling it Love Hanoi Festival, celebrating the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation, which is this year, because last year we celebrated 100 years of the Evangelical Church in Hanoi, and now we're celebrating 500 years as our reason for celebration with Franklin Graham underneath. Actually, Franklin Graham is doing a lot more than that. But that is our reason for registration. Well, I want to just pause here for a little bit and tell you a little story that you may not know. 2 years ago, we did a process called Appreciative Inquiry. And some of you may remember we did surveys and we met at the DTEC building and we met in small groups, and we asked this question: do you have a BHAG? Now, anyone who's read or heard about Jim Collins would know that a BHAG is a big, hairy, audacious goal, a goal that's so big it would be impossible to do alone, but not too big that people would feel despondent and wouldn't do it, but big enough that it is challenging and inspiring and enticing, and it brings people together to work together to do it. And so when we asked the question, do you have a BHAG, Pastor Charlie, who back then was not yet pastor at HIF, shared his BHAG. He said to his group, he said this, he said, why don't we rent the National Stadium and then we bring in tens of thousands of people and we share the gospel with them? And guess what this group did? They laughed at him. He still, today, is perturbed. I don't know. Is that a good word? He is disturbed. He is annoyed, frustrated. I don't know. That people laughed at him. We asked for a BHAG. And even people who have been around for a while were laughing that, yeah, this is impossible. But this year, it is going to happen, Lord willing. So the mayor already verbally has approved the National Stadium. Now, if you don't know what that looks like, a group that size, I have a little video clip here from what it looked like in Burma last November. Well, that was last November in Yangon, which people would have said it's impossible to do such an event in this Buddhist country. But it is possible, and today we have some of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, BGA, staff here with us, and I would just want to ask you to stand up. And that's Lam from the Philippines. And Luke and Hannah from the U.S., and Jeff and Now, I've been trying to memorize your name, Megumi from Japan. Well, welcome. Jeff, would you come up, and Jeff's going to share with us a little bit about the Love Hanoi Festival strategy.
Thank you, Pastor Jakob. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yes. So what everybody's been looking at, you saw that video there just before, and you know, one thing that video isn't showing actually is another half of the whole venue that we did have in Yangon, Myanmar. And so over 3 days, we had about 173,000 people come out with about 7,000 making decisions for Christ. But one thing I'm here to share with you is that festival, what you just saw, that video, that's actually only 10% of what we do. And one of the best analogies that we have to kind of share about what this looks like is with an iceberg. And when you think of an iceberg, when you look at it, there's only 10% that sits above the water. And so for what we do, that's going to be our festival. That's going to be the Love Hanoi Festival with Franklin Graham coming up December 8th through 10th at the, Lord willing, the meeting stadium. And so what they don't see, what everybody doesn't see with what we do, is the 90% that sits below the water. And that's preparation, follow-up, and a few other ministries, which are going to be in more detail with Pastor Jakob. But so what we do is that 10%, that's what everybody sees, and that's what, you know, everybody will remember. But what they don't see, again, is what's happening below. And one of the most important things that we do especially is the follow-up. So we just don't have people coming to Christ at the festival and we welcome them and say, you know, welcome to Christ, have a good life, see you later. We don't want to do that. We want to be partnering with the churches to make sure all of those who come are discipled, followed up, and nurtured in Christ. And so there's three major ministries that happen from the very beginning of our preparation phase through the event itself and then also through the follow-up time, and that's Operation Andrew, the Christian Life of Witness course, and of course, prayer, the foundation of everything that we do. And so one of the best quotes that I've heard Dr. Billy Graham say with regards to how we can look at the festival is that, you know, what people are very shocked to say when I'm talking about the festival is that we're not an event ministry. And an event ministry, they blow in, they blow up, and they blow out. They don't have an impact on the local church. So the preparation time through the event, through the follow-up, that's what has the impact on the local churches. Not only working with the international churches here, we're working with all churches in Hanoi. But going back, what Dr. Graham said that really sums up everything that we do is that, you know, when I told somebody we don't believe in mass evangelism, they kind of looked at me a little bit shocked and said, well, you gather all those people, why? How can you say you don't believe in mass evangelism? But what Dr. Graham said is that we believe in personal evangelism on a massive scale. So it's all of the churches in a region, in this case here in Hanoi, working together to invite the lost to one place to hear the gospel. And so to share a little bit more about those details, I'm going to ask Pastor Jakob to continue. So thank you for having us here today. Appreciate it. Right.
Thank you, Jeff. So Jeff and his team will be in the lobby after the service. You can ask him questions, ask for more information, sign up for participation, etc. And this truly is a big rock. It's so big. You know, I, like many others, would have thought, well, this is a big event. You know, how is that going to really benefit the church? It's only going to drain the church as if it's just event-oriented. They blow in, blow up, and blow out. But I must say to you that this team has been the best collaborative experience I've ever had. They're great people. And I know leadership trickles down. These are at the bottom level, the food soldiers, and they're fantastic people to work with. And I think it's a great reflection of the organization. And I really anticipate what God is going to do because they're not just blowing in. It's just amazing what is happening with all the pastors collaborating together on this. And so I've been already spending several hours a week working on this and with them over the past few months. And that's only going to increase as we work towards the event itself being part of the whole process. But I want to share with you more particularly how you personally can be involved starting today. And that is in prayer, in participating in Operation Andrew, joining the Christian Life and Witness course, and then working towards making disciples of those who do respond. First of all, pray. Now, the dates of the festival are December 8 through December 10. And so Vietnamese around the world have decided on 12:08 every day at noontime, well, not midnight, although if you're a late night owl, you can pray at 12:08. But noontime, 12:08 till 12:10, through just 3 minutes, to pray for the festival. And so the festival office have produced these bookmarks that you have in your bulletin, and there are more available on the table in the lobby if you need them. But I would just ask you now, you can pull out your phone and set an alarm for every day, 12:08, pray. And so put your bookmark in your wallet or put it in something that you have with you at noontime so that each day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can pray for the several things that are listed here. And as we continue to roll out the festival and communicate, you will also know more specifically how you can pray for these things. But everyone can pray. Now, can you all hold up your bookmark and say, I will pray. I will pray. Yes. And put this 12:08 alarm in your phone. Secondly, what we are praying for is for our friends. And so each of you have received an Operation Andrew card that you can fold like this so it's small and you can put it in your pocket. But the whole idea is that you fill out your name at the top and names of friends who do not know Jesus yet. And now, as an international church, I want to encourage you to focus on international friends. Of course, we can focus on local friends, but our local brothers and sisters are doing that. They're not focusing on the expatriates. We're the only church with HIC that is focusing on the international community. So I want to encourage you to pray for international friends. Write their name down. And then write it also in this one. And then later, when we get back together after summer, we will collect this part. And for the fall period, we'll be praying together for the friends that you are praying for. And it's not just about inviting them to the festival, even though that is a highlight. We really want to create a culture of invitation. You know, we do not do so well in inviting our friends to services, to events, to the Christmas concert. Actually, the last Christmas concert, the theater was not full. And so we're not that great in our invitational culture. And so we want to use this as an opportunity to increase our invitational culture. Thirdly, grow. We would love for as many people as possible to attend these four courses that will be offered in September to grow in your spiritual life and in your witness. And so we would like to have all our Connect groups to participate in these courses rather than compete with them for time and for scheduling. And so we would love for all Connect groups to join these, and we will also have this as our theme for our sermon series in September so that we are fully engaged and participating in the whole process, not just showing up for the event at the end. And then, as Jeff already shared with us, the key really is to do follow-up and disciple those who do respond. And as we pray, we would love to see many internationals coming for the festival, coming to services, coming to Alpha, coming to Christmas. We're inviting them to everything that we're doing, but by the end of them, responding to the call to believe in Jesus Christ. And so we want to do that well, and there's a training for that that will take place for ministry leaders, for Christian workers in particular, this first 2 weeks of June. It'll just be one seminar of 2 hours that you can attend, and there's several opportunities to attend those. But if you are interested in this, please do see the staff after the service in the lobby. But then lastly, we need to build our own Love Hanoi Festival team. So far, it's been mostly me working with Luke on both the international team, and also I'm chairing the Committee for Love in Action. And we'd love to have others to join our team. We need to build our own team, so we want to invite those that want to participate and coordinate the prayer team, those that want to be a point person at each site for Operation Andrew, others who want to host the CLWC, the Christian Life Witness Course, and those that want to join my Love in Action, which is kind of like City Partners Love Hanoi, but then for the festival committee. And then those who are interested in coordinating events to do outreach for men, women, and children. Now, it's a very short time, and that's because normally it takes 3 years to prepare this, and here we just have 10 months to get ready for this festival. So we're going to do our best. We want to be involved in everything. We want to see what God is going to do in His kingdom, in the city at this time, and not be left out standing on the sidelines, watching the local church do it all. We're in 100%. And so we have postponed a few of our objectives and said, this is the big rock in our pond, and we're going to work with God what He has planned for this coming year. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be greater than we could ever have dreamed or imagined. And Pat and Steve are saying, amen, they've been there longer than us. And boy, we could have never dreamed for a day such like this. And so I invite you to be part of this team. And so please use the form that is in your bulletin and hand it in to the BGA staff in the lobby after the service. Now, I want to share with you my personal BHAG. And that is, it's my goal to write a book when this is all said and done. From when we started the Love Hanoi campaign back in 2012, now we are only 5 years ahead. The president of my university, when he interviewed me at the start, he said, well, typically a student would organize a citywide event where all the churches participate and various government officials would be invited to attend. And I'm like, you're crazy. You know, this is Hanoi. We don't do things like that. But okay, I'll start the program and see where it goes. But God is doing this. It's way outside of my control. It's all in His hand. I'm just along for the ride. And I want to write about this for my doctoral thesis project. And then at the end of our program year in April, we are hosting the next MICN conference that we just had in KL with the emphasis, Love Your City, Disciple the Nations. And that would be such a great story to tell what God has done in Hanoi, Vietnam, with an international church fully engaged, fully participating, and even initiating some of these initiatives. And so that's why I'm excited. And if you ever wonder how do I look when I'm excited, this is how I look when I'm excited. So if I'm not jumping or screaming or whatever, you know, keep in mind I'm still Dutch and I'm still Reformed and we keep things calm. But deep on the inside, I'm very excited about what God is doing in our midst and that He allows us to be His servants. Boy, what a privilege. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all that You have done. Lord, as we can look back these past 22 years for HAF, 20 for me personally, Lord, is beyond our imagination. What You're about to do is just such a surprise, truly a BHAG that only someone like Pastor Charlie could have blurted out and had the vision for. And Lord, I'm so thankful that You have chosen me to be a servant, to partner with You in Hanoi for such a time as this. We are so thankful that You have chosen us as HIF, a congregation of foreign residents in a strange land. We're not just scattered here accidentally. We have been planted here for Your purpose, whether it's for a few months, for a few years, or for decades. Lord, have Your way in us. use us, that we may show how good God truly is, that many would glorify your name upon your return. That is our prayer, that is our heart, that is our vision. We pray in Jesus' name.
Okay, what a great message. Wow, what God is doing in this city. What a privilege to be here at this time. So grateful to God to be working with all you guys too. It's so good, these guys that have come from the BGA Festival. It's wonderful. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings now. So I'd ask the ushers to get prepared. And when you put it in there, you won't have envelopes. Don't panic. You can put cash straight in.